Bible said, "For there stood by me this night." Ain't you glad you got somebody on standby? "The angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve." Somebody said, angels was not a part of the New Testament church in the day and hour we live. The Bible said that we've all got a particular angel that sees about us, that even before we became heirs of salvation, they was sent to us. Boy, I'm glad we're in divine custody and protection by the good grace of God. And he's saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria," there's the word I'm interested in, "about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." Thank you for standing this morning. Lord, I can run and shout. Been dealing with the thought of how God pinned down in the Bible about in the midnight hour, there are some messages that come in midnight. We had dealt in the book of Exodus, they used the word midnight. There was a redemption at midnight. God said the death angel would go out across the land of Egypt, would smite all the firstborn. And he said only those that had the blood applied to the doorpost that it would not be affected. I am so glad that the blood is available and the blood is adequate in our midnight hour. It's still the blood. God didn't say nothing about looking over and seeing your church membership. He said he didn't look and see if you had good works. He said, "Honey, I'm looking for one thing," and he's still looking for one thing this morning, and that's the blood of his darling son that was shed on Calvary's cross. I'm glad I'm under the blood this morning. And oh, we've seen the message of midnight. We see there is a redemption. And then in Matthew 25, we looked at a return at midnight. The Bible said, go out to meet him. And certainly there was a return at midnight. I want to remind you that Jesus said he would be coming as in the days of Noah. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm more encouraged this morning. I can hardly wait to get into the preaching, but I'm more encouraged that it's never been this dark before. You know why? It's going to be a cry made. None like it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And he said, comfort one another with these words. It's comfort into my heart this morning to know I'm soon to get out of this mess that we're living in. My, we see a midnight return. And then we see Paul and Silas in the book of Acts chapter 16. Not only was there a return at midnight, a redemption at midnight, there was a rendition at midnight. Well, Paul and Silas, there's a singing the right kind of song in the midnight hour. And I want to say it's easy to sing on choir on Sunday. But honey, it's different to sing another song on Monday. Oh my, a rendition at midnight. Then last week, remember old Eutychus? The midnight hour, he fell out of the third story out of the window. And we preached on there was a reminder at midnight. Oh my, in death sudden. Death comes at a time that we think it would not come. Boy, it suddenly came about. And we've seen that there was a midnight reminder that death is no respecter of persons. But now this morning, I want to use these parting comments about these midnight truths out of a report at midnight. Boy, old Paul now, he's a sailing. And he said at the midnight, he deemed that he drew near to some country. This morning, I'm glad the Bible reports some things that we can be assured of at midnight. I want you to notice in the reading of this text in Acts 27, this report was about a veteran. A veteran. in Acts 27. The Bible said, and it was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Amertium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. And he said, the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. Ain't you glad you got some friends in this walk of life? Now I'm going to tell you, you won't have many, but you'll know who they are when you're about to hit shipwreck. You'll know who they are when you're on the ship of sailing toward a storm. You'll figure out who your friends are in the nasty now and now. When the rubber really meets the road, you'll find out who will be your friend. And I want to tell you this, there's one that sticketh closer than a brother this morning. A friend at midnight, the Lord Jesus Christ. But ain't you glad you got some people that you can refresh yourself? I've noticed friends are very important. Man, it's so refreshing to find somebody that can lift your spirits. And everything ain't doom and gloom. Aren't you glad you got some people that can encourage you on this side of heaven on your journey? There's a veteran now. Now, I want you to notice this. Why do you say there's a veteran in this report? Well, I want to say this. Paul is a veteran sailor because of his endangerments. This is his fourth shipwreck. Can I say, this ain't his first rodeo. I'm glad I've met some soldiers that's on a journey for the Lord Jesus Christ that are veterans in the faith. Thank God for the sister that can stand up and say, thank God he come by in my situation and showed up this morning in my prayer time. I'm glad there's some veterans in this walk of life. I think about Brother Monroe Wiggins. My, what a veteran. Brother Elmer Cason, what a veteran in this country, in this side. They've got those stripes that the Holy Ghost has put on their arms. I've said a lot of times, thank God for veterans. You know something? If I was to get on an airplane this morning and if I was fixing to fly to the Philippines today like we are in November, and I look there and there's a little old young boy and he looked sort of still wet behind the ears and he's sitting there with a little pamphlet and he's saying, well, come on board, and there's no straps on his arms. I say, well, what's that book? He says, well, I've been reading this manual a couple of months, and I think I can fly this thing. I think I can get it. I tell you what I'd do, honey. I'd backstep out of that door. I'm telling you, I ain't just going to trust anybody in anything. But thank God there's some men in the Bible that stood for the stuff. And thank God there's some men in our churches today that stood by the stuff. And the Lord's put some straps on their arms. And thank God for some veterans in the old time way. Boy, I tell you, I just ain't going to ride with anybody, are you? Ain't no way, buddy. I'm going to take the men with the stripes and the scars, been there and done that. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, we see here this report of a veteran. He's a veteran because of his endangerments. This is his fourth shipwreck. And then verse 10, I want you to notice what the Bible said. He said in verse 7, we'd sail slowly many days, and he said, the wind wouldn't suffer us to sail much, wouldn't much wind to push our boat. Verse 8, hardly passing it, came to a place which is called the Fair Havens. And he said now, in verse 9, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt. Now, why is he a veteran preacher? Not only by endangerments, but by experiences. He said, listen, I ain't read this in no catalog. He said, I perceive things ain't a-looking good. Boy, I want to give you some thoughts to think upon today. You better not take what the man of God says lightly if it's coming out of the Word of God. Paul said, I perceive that this thing is with much hurt and much damage. I perceive, he says, I done been there. I seen a movie that I love. Don't watch a lot of TV, but I love those old mountain shows. They're talking about this perceiving, a veteran looking and knowing things don't look good. It was a movie called Jeremiah Johnson. You say, well, what's that got to do with the Bible? Not a lot. But I want to tell you what I did learn out of the experience. You see, there was a greenhorn come in from town, and boy, he went up in the wilderness to learn how to live, and he met this old mountain man. And this old mountain man, sort of, he entrusted him to teach him about the wilderness. And snow was on the ground, and things didn't look good, so they bedded down for the night. I noticed what the old veteran did. He built up a fire, and he raked the wood out of it, and he took a shovel, and he digged a little place to lay down, Brother Gerald, and he took them coals, and he put them in a grave-like place, and he covered them with dirt, and he put his blanket down, and he laid down. Boy, the greenhorn, he's a-looking what the old veteran done, he thought he'd try. So he took and he raked back some dirt, and he put some coals down, and he put some earth on it, and he put his blanket down, and they laid down. And I looked at the old mountain man, he sort of looked at one eye over there at him, thinking the whole time, this ain't going to work. Why ain't it going to work? Well, all of a sudden, that newcomer, that greenhorn, jumped up off of that ground, and his blanket was afire. What was the matter? He didn't bury him deep enough. And I'll never forget what that old mountain man said. He looked and he said, "Hey, I seen it right off, pilgrim. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of men that know where you headed to, and you better listen to the man of God. When it don't look good, you better hunker down and realize the man of God said there's a payday coming someday, and you better listen to the veterans that's done been there and done all of that." Boy, the veteran, by his experiences and by his expressions, he said, "I perceive that this thing is of much hurt." And you know what they did? They said, "What's that old hollering preacher know? He don't know nothing." Because the Bible said this. He said in verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." I wonder how many times we let our flesh run us. Instead of let the Bible guide us, we think, "Well, you know, this is the way I'm going to do something, and this is the way I want it, and it's about me, and it's all about me, me, me." But honey, what's God say about it? Oh my, we see this veteran of the report and his endangerments and his experiences and his expressions. Boy, Paul seen it right off. And you know something, isn't it amazing? Now in verse 13, not only do you see a veteran, but you see a violation. A violation. You see, they would not take heed to the things of Paul. What did Paul know? He is just a prisoner. He was just a little lowly peasant. He wasn't upon their ranking. He wasn't upon their chef. He wasn't running with that crowd. They said, "What do you know?" But you're going to find out there's a violation. Amen. It's a payday coming someday. You see, the Bible said in verse 13, when they started, the south wind blew softly. Supposing they'd obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. Paul said, "You better not go no further." They said, "What you know, we're going anyway." And they got out there and the wind blew real soft. That's sort of like some of them advertisements you're watching. That's like some of them billboards you're looking at. You know, they'll put a cowboy up there, them Marlboro Lights, leaning up on a fence post with his horse in the background. Everything looks real cool and real smooth. But it don't show you with double lung cancer about 40 years down the road. The billboard don't show you with your lungs eat up like a ball glove, dying with emphysema, the way my worldly daddy died. Boy, that crowd I was running in, it looked good up there in that hayloft, Brother David. Smoking in Marlboro. We got some big five-cent King Edward cigars, Brother Gerald. We'd all pass it around on a camp out, you know. I mean, we could barely get up a nickel, but we did get us a King Edward. We'd light it. We'd all pass it. Boy, it looks so cool. But I tell you what, on down the road, God let me see the back of that billboard. My daddy dying with emphysema. Hey, the surgeon said your daddy would have lived to be probably 85, 90 years old, but said them cigarettes got him. What you doing preaching on cigarettes? I'm preaching on everything. Hey, the Budweiser, the Clydesdales will show you all them pretty pictures. Just get you a cold Michelob. Just get you a good, cool, tall boy at the end of day's work. And before long, you done reached over and you done a case. And now they done locked you up in the slammer for drunk driving. Now you done run off the road and killed somebody. Killed somebody's baby. Or killed yourself or somebody's mama or daddy. The billboard don't show you the backside. It blows softly. But honey, you watch, there's a storm coming because there's a violation been made. God's got laws in this Bible. You take your chances, you're going to lose this morning. Boy, there's a report about a violation. He said it blew softly to start with. Some of you boys are winking at them girls on the job. It'll blow softly to start with. But he comes down there and blows you out in eternity. You leave them kids for somebody else to raise. He ain't showed you that side of the violation, has he? Young ladies, he out there carousing and trying to tempt you and telling you about all these things. Your husband don't love you and he's just full of the devil, honey. Let me tell you, the devil won't show you the flip side of that coin. I realize this kind of preaching probably don't, man don't need a building program right off. But I can tell you this morning, honey, the devil's full of lies. Full of lies. Full of lies. One little glimpse of a dirty book, it'll become a lifestyle for you, sir. One little movie, your mind will be hitting rewind the rest of your life and looking at things that God never intended you to see. Soft wind blew. There's a violation. What about this violation, preacher? Well, in verse 14, the storm was sudden and coming, but not long after. Verse 14, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. Not long after. Boy, it wasn't long after I tried that first joint of pot. It wasn't long after I was hooked. It wasn't long after I started living like the devil. It wasn't long. Don't take you long. Hey, honey, you don't have to bump this flesh. You better be trying to crucify this flesh instead of throw gas on it. Hey, amen. You better quit petting that flesh. You better go to killing it. Because not after, didn't take too long, here come the storm. The violation, I want to say that the storm came sudden. The storm was sudden in coming. And then in verse 15, it was severe in consequences. The Bible said when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her dry. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Boy, if they'd just listened to the man of God. I wonder how much the man of God could have helped you if you'd have listened. I wonder if you'd have listened to them old preachers are coming up, how if you'd have had them scars on you that you got today. I guarantee, if I was, listen to me, if I was raised in a Holy Ghost, preaching church, ain't no way I'd have been where I was, Brother Dean. Ain't no way. I'm telling you, I'm so glad we got a Bible and we got some folks that can preach it and the Holy Ghost to back it up. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, it was sudden in coming. And then you'll notice, secondly, when it got there, that, oh, it was severe in consequences. And I've noticed this. More saints are ruined by prosperity than adversity. You see, David said in Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But I tell you what, buddy, you get your backside burnt up, you'll go to paying attention. You get your leg broke, your arm broke from messing around and fooling around and playing with God, he'll get your attention. I don't know many people, Brother Dennis, that prosperity took them to God. But I can tell you a pile of people that adversity took them to God. While people here get a little promotion, they get to thinking they've done something. Instead of honoring God, they go to honoring the world. And they get a little money to buy a boat, now they got to go use the boat. And they get a little money to go play golf, now they got to go play golf. And God goes to blessing instead of praising Him and devoting to Him and still letting Him be God ever. Now we get a little world and a little bulletproof. But there's a violation coming. Oh, we'll miss one Sunday night. It don't matter. Oh, there's a violation coming. Violation coming. Let me ask you something. If nobody don't want nothing to do with church or preacher while they live in, why does everybody want them when they die? If nobody don't want nothing to do with a preacher when they live in, why call him when they die? Hallelujah. People don't want the church when they live in. Why do they want them when they die? Call the game warden. Call the Walmart greeter. You say that's hard. No, honey, it's truth. It's truth. Truth. There's a violation. And honey, you go against the principles of this Bible, you're going to pay for it, and I'm going to pay for it. And our church will pay for it. Boy, there's a violation at midnight. Storm suddenly coming, severe in consequences, and it was slow in ceasing in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, it'd be okay if you could mess with sin and get out of it pretty quick, but oh honey, it's going to keep you there a while. You say, well, you let me alone, preacher, because I ain't hurting nobody but myself. You don't know what the Bible said. The Bible says it goes on for a fourth generation. That stuff you handing down to your young'uns, honey, it's coming back one of these days. And you setting trees out that you'll never set under. And you better be careful what kind of trees you setting out. But it was slow and ceasing many days. Sun, moon, stars did not appear. Ain't it awful to be like that? Boy, I remember when I got under old time conviction, I didn't think Miss Flo the sun would ever get up. I'm telling you, everywhere I turned, I'm bumping into God. That's just like some of you. God's got to dealing with you to be saved. And everywhere you turn, you're bumping into God. Ain't you glad He ain't a running from you, but you are running from Him? My goodness, He said it was slow and ceasing. Now there was a veteran. Glad I've met some veterans. Thank God we ain't this full of bunch of Mickey Mouses. I'm glad we've got some veterans. Let me ask you something. A veteran gets shot at. Veterans get hit. Veterans get cut. But you know somebody better? They get up and just shake it off. Medic! 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 Got a little wound. Fix her up. Got to go back to battle. Veterans. Thank God for some veterans around here. Just don't kick out on the feeling. I don't like that kind of preaching. You're not a veteran. I don't like that shouting praise in God. Stay in long enough, honey, it'll get on you. I didn't like banana pudding a long time. But now I can just drink it by the glass full. I don't like that running hot. Well, would you rather have a clown up there juggling balls today? Would you rather have Sally up there in her miniskirt telling you about positive thinking? Hey, hey, hey! We live in a dark day! There's a payday coming someday! A veteran. A violation. But then watch this. A visitor. I hardly get along. A visitor. Verse 21. I notice, sister, what you said. And verse number 20, so true, a visitor. And it's something when there's no hope, he loves to show up. The Bible said in verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Buddy, that don't look good. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me. Wonder how many of you should have listened, not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you by the ship, for there stood by me this night. I wonder why he wasn't standing by them. I wonder how many times you've been safe because somebody else. Matter of fact, your employer may be amazed if you're a child of God that the reason God's blessing his business is because it's you. He said, there stood by me this night. And I want you to look what it says. Sound like to me the preacher's pretty important. Boy, I wish I was preaching this morning evangelism. I'd Kirk home this thing this morning right here. The Bible said this. He said, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, them folks riding with you, boy, I'm going to take care of them. And them folks bucking, jumping off the board, they ain't going to make it. Line up with the man of God and go with him. Now, I want you to notice this visitor. Boy, God, come on the scene. Ain't it amazing in your darkest hour, God shows Himself. Visitor, after no hope, he showed up. Verse 23, there's God's presence. Verse 24, there's God's peace, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that say with thee, fear not." Boy, it's nothing like God's peace. When I was a lost man, I'd lay down. I was scared to death about dying. Boy, I'd come by a car wreck in the middle of the road and I'd see somebody die. It absolutely run me crazy. I'd get to hearing the preacher talk about the Lord coming back. I'd never heard about that much. I was raised in an old dead church. They didn't preach nothing. But I got to hearing about the Lord coming. I knowed my wife was saved. And by the way, when them virgins arose, all 10 of them, five was wives, five was foolish, the lamps went out, they had no oil, they went to the wise to get oil, and they said, "Not so, lest there not be enough for ours." You don't know who's got it. And I knew my wife had it, buddy. I knew she had something I didn't have. And I'll never forget Brother David, Brother Tim, down yonder at Macedonia Baptist Church, down yonder in the Pine Thicket in Heard County. I heard no man stand up one day against that wall. He scared me to death. He was red-faced, a hollering, a shout. I'd never seen a man caught up in the Holy Ghost. I mean, it just scared me to death. I didn't know nothing. But I knowed he had something, Brother Randall, in him that I needed. And I wanted it. And it scared me to death to not have it. So what are you saying? Oh, not only do we see God's presence, but we see God's peace. Fear not, Paul. Aren't you glad God can give you peace in your storm? Aren't you glad God can give you peace in whatever you're going through this morning? You say, "Preacher, I need peace and I need it bad." Then I'd come ask Him for peace. Because nobody can give peace like the Savior. Your job will give you peace a little bit. By the time you get promoted and they kick the legs out from under that thing, peace is gone. Man, a new car, it'll give you peace a little while before long. The new gets off of that thing. No peace. Boy, you'll get you this and get you that, looking for peace, but it just don't last, does it? Jesus only gives lasting peace. And so then we see verse 24, God's protection. He said, "Fear not, Paul." He said, "Thou must be brought before Caesar, and God hath given thee all them that sail with you." And then God's promise, verse 25, He said, "I tell you what I'm going to do, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God." I wish we could believe Him. I want to say, I believe God about heaven. And I believe God about hell. Some of you really don't believe in hell, do you? Hell's a terrible place. He said, "I believe God." He said, "God's promise. I'm going to believe Him. And I'm going to tell you something. When things ain't looking good, you can still trust Him." Can I tell you when it's dark at your house, you can still trust Him. Your young'uns is running wild and your home is shipwrecked and ain't enough money to pay the bills. Let me tell you something. You can trust Him. You can believe Him. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So we see a report about a visitor. And then verse 26, God's providence. He said, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." God's got a plan. Aren't you glad you're in it? Then lastly, not only do we see a veteran and a violation and a visitor, but lastly, verse 27, we see a victory. Let me share if you'd come. The Bible said, "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." I looked up that word "deemed." You know what that means? It means an inside tuition, a conscience or an instinct. A sailor. Now, I want you to notice it was dark, it was midnight, but the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. In other words, they felt like it was something ahead. And then I like what they done. They sounded. You know what that is? The Bible said when they sounded and found it 20 fathoms, they let a rope down because they knew they was getting close. They was a-looking and seeing how shallow it had got. My sounded. They was looking how close they was getting. Let me tell you, according to everything going on our national news, it's a getting real close this morning. Buddy, I'm telling you, this was their depth finder. They had a piece of rope that was marked with footage that let it down. They'd say, my, 40 feet, we're getting close. The Bible said they sounded again. They'd gone a little further, and they found it not only from being 20, but it went to 15. They let the rope down and say, my, we're nearer than we was.
And then I like what he said. Verse 33. He said, and while the day was coming on. How you know it's coming on? Just look around. You older than you used to be. I don't say this hilariously. I'm not looking for a laugh. Right? I just want to tell you what happened this week. I went down, little Caroline had some stuff done this week, and I was just standing there in the door. The doctor come by, and you know what he said, Brother David? He said, hey, are you Grandpa? Hallelujah. Are you Grandpa? Boy, life's quick, ain't it? He said, he's seen the day coming on. If it's to leave out of this place, you better be ready to go. Because you don't give it one chance at this thing. Said he's seen it coming on. And I noticed what happened then. The Bible said, the centurion willing to save Paul, they crashed now, kept them from their purpose, commanded they could swim, should cast first themselves in the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces. And it seemed, so it came to pass, they all escaped safe to land. Boy, I'm glad I'm getting out of this. Some on boards, some on broken pieces. Some you going to land on the home shore with things pretty much intact. And some of you going to land with things tore all to pieces. Isn't it amazing how that persecutions, tribulations, and trials are no respecter of families? A lot of you this morning under this old preacher, you're going to see things come to your house, and I'm going to walk in, and it's going to amaze us all what's happened. Because you know why? That's part of the journey. But ain't you glad you got somebody with you at midnight? He deemed that he drew near to some country. He had a tuition in him. And he got to sounding. Seen he was drawing near to the shore. And you know something one of the old writers said? He said, during that whole storm, that whole 14 days of darkness, reeling, rocking, and storm, didn't change the situation. He is still headed to the home shore. Ain't you glad one day it's going to be a landing? Some of them been getting ready for the landing around here. Sort of like you out on the sea, drowning in your situation. And God takes you a life ring with a rope and He throws it to you and He says, now there's one issue. You've got to take hold of it. Or you'll go down. Can I tell you that Jesus on an old cross died for you and that was your life ring? He's thrown it to you by the gospel. And now by faith you've got to reach and you've got to grab a hold of it and say, dear God, I want that life. What Brother Donald preached about this morning, that thing of eternal life, God, I want that life. It's getting dark, young'uns. These messages at midnight ain't come here for no reason. I can tell you that. There's a midnight report. I wonder what you need this morning. I wonder sin showing you how nice it is. And it is. But it's for a season. I wonder, are you saved this morning? I'm not asking you if you joined a church. I'm asking you, have you been saved by the grace of it? Has there ever been a time that God's dealt with your heart, dealt with you, and you knew you needed Him? And at that time, did you turn to Him and trust Him as your Savior? Well, that can happen for you this morning. Sailor, is it dark? Stay with the ship. We're nearing the home shore. I have sounded. We're getting close. Are you ready? What you need this morning? Are you tired of living in fear? Are you tired of constantly fighting this thing of God dealing with you to be saved? Are you tired of it? Then this is what you need to do. This: you need to step out by faith, come down this old-fashioned altar, and simply in your own way ask Christ to save you, God to forgive you.